The Oscars are on, and this year's awards are a little different. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, I love saying that, is mixing it up with a new voting system where nominees are ranked and judged on a scale from 1 to 10.
Join us today as our friend Curtis Jensen, a self-proclaimed movie buff who sees practically every major film that comes out, shares with us his insights about the awards and how the new system will impact who wins.
Who do you think will sweep the awards? Will Mariah Carey's fake mustache win Best Actor?
Plus, we're getting ready for our live show this Friday, where hundreds of our listeners join us in the flesh for a live podcast at Steamworks in Chicago.
Will my low-budget Lady Gaga number be a hit or a bad romance?
Plus, all the hot news. Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin are in the Windy City performing their favorite songs from Broadway.
A woman gets an unexpected breast augmentation.
Death by sauna.
Breath by chocolate.
Killer whale woes.
And a letter from a couple in San Diego who are looking for a little friendship or more. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Pillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic listeners like you. Thank you. And by 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Meeting a hot guy isn't rocket science, but some days it sure feels like it. If you're tired of spending so much time on dating websites and coming up empty-handed, call 1-888-MEGAMATES. It's the fun, fast, easy way to meet local guys.
Your voice is the best first impression. It shows your personality and tells a potential date more about you than anything. Call 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Chat live with someone who's ready to connect. Guys are just a phone call away, and most of their features are free.
When you call, type in ad code FOF. You'll get half off a one-week unlimited message retrieval package. Call now, 1-888-MEGAMATES. It's a show. What's happening? Nobody knows what's happening because it's a podcast. And hold on a second. Curtis, are you taking my picture?
Yes.
I asked you 4 times not to take my pictures while I'm taping a podcast.
But you asked me to take
Mark,
your
get him
picture.
Out of the room. Get him out. Pull him out. Turn on the blue lights.
But Fausto.
What?
You asked him to take your photo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you could stay there. Oh. Hi, Curtis.
Hi.
So people are wondering, is like, why am I acting so bizarre, so crazy? We just saw Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin represent here in the Chicago Theater District.
At the Cadillac Palace,
singing all sorts of fabulous songs, hits from Broadway. But interestingly enough, they did not sing any songs of Evita.
I can't believe it.
What?
Because that was Mandy Patinkin's debut on Broadway, was in Evita.
Evita was also the musical where the two singer actors met and shared the stage as Evita and Che Guevara.
They may have met before then.
Well,
I mean,
that's the vehicle that brought them together and cemented their careers. And they owe their careers to Andrew Lloyd Webber and to Evita. Mm-hmm. And for them to do I wanted to take pictures of Patti LuPone and get her pissed off.
I know, Fausto was like, because
this is what I would have done. Okay, because you can go to our website, feastoffun.com, and you can listen to Patti LuPone freaking out on the closing night of Gypsy, when she got mad because somebody was taking pictures in the audience and she stops the show. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, it's like, if I take enough pictures of her, she'll stop the show and she'll be mad at me and say, why are you mad at me? And I'm like, I'm mad as hell because you're not singing Evita.
Well, to be fair, though, they did have in the program book, Evita was the song that she was going to sing right before intermission. And they said, subject to change.
And boy, did it change.
And boy, did it change. They didn't do it. I was really surprised. Rip. I don't know if maybe she's probably sick of that song. It's 30 years. She's probably like, I'm so over Evita.
You know what? Evita paid for that apartment, that high rise that she lives in.
Well, more importantly, you guys paid to hear.
Yeah.
We didn't pay. Well, okay.
Broadway Chicago.
The rest of the audience paid Don't Cry For Me.
But you know, the first half of the show really was fun and it was charming.
They do a lot with office chairs and that thing. And it's like, you know, because I've always felt that sometimes when I see actors and dancers moving a lot on stage and doing really complicated, difficult, dangerous choreography, like in 101 Dalmatians, where they could literally die if one false step happens.
Right.
I really appreciated being able just to enjoy myself and watching the two iconic Broadway legends doing a choreography on office chairs.
Right. And I've seen something similar. Like, I think Lucille Ball did that once.
Really?
I think Lucy and Ethel did it. It seemed like it was Lucy and Ethel did a routine on office chairs. I don't know.
So but. We are getting ready for our live show at Steamworks this Friday. And I have to announce that Mark and I will not be doing any choreography with office chairs together.
No.
But we'll have some, you know, gaga-tastic moments in the show. And Curtis is already seeing my top secret costume in process. What do you think about it?
It's very shiny.
It's good.
Say it's hot.
I think what's really catching like wildfire on the internet right now is low-budget versions of music videos. And so right now, one of the hot things right now is these young kids, the internet
kids.
They're making their own version of Bad Romance with laundry baskets and, you know, used farm equipment, plastic tubs.
And, you know, that video does take place in a bathhouse.
It does. Bathhouse of Gaga.
Yeah.
So this is going to be Bathhouse of Fausto. Because, you know, my name's kind of Gaga Fausto, two syllables, you know. Or Feast of Faf, House of Faf.
House of Faf.
That's exciting. I'm really excited. Are you guys excited?
Yes. I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. We have a stellar lineup. We have Cameron Esposito. So it's going to be your first female performer ever there, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Well, first female identified.
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of ladies that come in there.
Well, at our fifth anniversary party in Toronto last summer, a lesbian comic did use the bathroom.
But
she
really?
Didn't perform in the
She
club.
Didn't perform in there.
She performed on the street.
Okay.
Ah, and so we also have Keith Ecker doing a comedy bit. I don't want to give it away, but it should be really fun.
I'm worried about it, though. Uh-huh. This is like a, you know, American Idol.
Why are you worried?
This is like Feast of Fun Idol. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned because he's taking a lot of risks.
Okay.
And we're all actually taking a lot of risks in the show. We're trying things that we don't normally do. As Cameron likes to say, we're out of our comfort zone. So it's going to be really interesting. For Cameron, it's performing for an audience where half of the audience is wearing a towel.
And it's all male. That'll be unusual for her one day.
I know. And so her pussy jokes probably won't go over.
She'll go flat.
She'll be like, this material is not working.
Keith Ecker's not, I'm not going to say what he's doing, but he's going to be out of his comfort zone. Stephen Leonard is going to be out of his comfort zone.
Because he actually said, that was part of the thing, because you were texting back and forth on whether he's going to do it or not. And he said he would do it in a towel, right?
He said he would.
Well, we're going to hold him to it.
Well, are you going to do it in a towel, Mark?
I didn't say I was going to do
it. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I have my own costume.
And that'll be out of his comfort zone. And then, you know, Bill Cruz.
It'll be in my comfort zone. It might be out of other people's comfort zone.
Well, you look great in that Mae West getup.
So. And the comedy stylings of Bill Cruz.
And don't forget the delicious teriyaki.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm asking her to this time not to flash her testicles to the audience.
Yeah.
She
only flashed one.
It's pretty sexy stuff, you know. So it's going to be a great show. The thing starts at 8 p.m. And I do call it a thing because I don't really call it a cabaret. It's not a... It's hardly a podcast. It is a beast. It's an adventure. Starts at 8 o'clock. I recommend people show up early so you can hang out with us and socialize. You can help me put on my elaborate low-budget Lady Gaga costume. And certainly interact with us and pose questions for our press conference at the end.
So it's $5 to get in. And with that $5, if you bring the coupon in to visit the website, and you'll see a beautiful illustration of us, or a photo of us.
Photo.
Yeah,
a photo. People are like, is that a real photo of you and Mark? And I'm like, yes, Mark just now 7'5".
So it's $5. You get in, see the show, and plus you get a free 30-day membership so you can come back. And it's a wonderful way to say to your boyfriend, let's go to Steamworks and go see a show. And then you hold on to your membership.
To get that $5 entry rate, you must use the coupon that you get from the Feast of Fun website.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're doomed.
You will just pay the regular rate. You know, we have a different discount rate for our regular
customers. And that's so your guys up front don't, you know, pocket the money.
Well, no, it's also so that we know who's coming. From the Feast of Fun.
And we want you to know.
We want to represent, and I want everybody to listen to the show that has an M on their ID card. So, you know, except for Cameron Esposito. I want to see you guys there. I want it to be like a mob. I want it to be scary. I want the staff to freak out.
I want
out.
Normal Paul sweating, going, what are we going to do with all these people?
What are we
going
to do with all these people? I was like, we'll entertain them with a good old-fashioned show. What's happening? It's like, I'll channel Patti LuPone.
Now, what did you think? Because I did a blog entry. I commented. I said, here are clips from last year's show. And it was stuff from our gang, Little Rascals. And it was Spanky opening it up, going, oh, here we are, joined
I'm
for the He-Man.
I'm in the mood for love. Simply because you're near me.
That was the second video.
Okay.
And then it was Spanky opening up in the He-Man Women's Haters Club. And then, of course, was Stymie baked a cake.
Mwah.
And you're like, you guys are retarded. Did you not like that?
But no, I meant retarded in a good way.
Oh, okay. Because everything I've learned about show business, I learned from Little Rascals.
From Little Rascals.
And our gang. Because they always put on shows.
That's true.
And so I always feel like, you know, Fausto's Alfalfa, and I'll be the fat one.
You're
I'm Spanky.
I particularly loved the drag queen Spanky with Alfalfa getting his hot ass burned.
That was fun. You know, but I actually like Alfalfa in drag better. Alfalfa in drag.
Because
there's a couple of, if you look on YouTube, you can see Alfalfa in drag.
They always put those boys in drag, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But Buckwheat never got in. Buckwheat always cooking. Somebody was, the little black kids were always cooking something. And then it was like Darla was like the asexual female in the.
She was a dyke. She was not asexual. Yeah. She was dykish.
Although she was the object of desire for the guys.
For the boys.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Oh. She was the love interest.
Speaking of cooking, the Stymie is, I always forget, because I remember Stymie looking at an artichoke and he didn't know what to do with it. He said, says, Artie may choke, but Stymie won't.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be basically like the Little Rascals, all grown up and very perverted. And that's the fun starts at 8 o'clock, and the show ends promptly at 9 because it is a live taping of a podcast in sequential time. And so you guys are like, think if you get there at 9, you'd be like, has the show started? And that happened actually last year.
Oh, really?
We got like a second wave of people showing up and they're like, is the show started yet? And I'm like, 8 p.m. means 8 p.m.
Right.
You know, and Jason Smith and his boyfriend, Michael, are going to be there.
They're going to come?
They said they will.
All
they're confirmed. Excellent. So, you know, I want people to use Flash. I'm not like Patti LuPone.
You won't scream at them.
I will not scream at them, you know. But I do, if you actually are a fan of Patti LuPone and the other guy.
Mandy Patinkin,
who also sang with Madonna in the movie Dick Tracy.
Right.
He played the pianist. You'll really have a good time. If that's, like, if you're fans of theirs, they really represent, do a wonderful show. I felt like I was kind of like observing. It's like watching porn that's not of your sexual orientation. You know, because
I didn't think you would like it as much as I did. I really enjoyed it because, you know, I've admired these people for a long time. And I guess I'm more familiar with Broadway stuff than you may be. So it was fun to hear some of these songs.
But they're fans. I mean, there was these two women sitting next to me and they were passing opera glasses in kind of this like sexual manner. Like they were
like
sharing
dildos. Lesbians sharing dildos.
Yeah, or something like that. And so they kept looking at it and they were like, oh! And they were like, and you totally could tell them that they were like fetishizing Mandy Patinkin.
They were looking at his package.
Yeah. So they were like totally like aroused by this thing. And every time they sang a different song, it was like, oh, do you remember? And they were like started talking to each other. And I was like, I was trying to pay more attention to what they were saying about the show than the show itself. Because these women were like ecstatic. I mean, they were like ready to run up to that stage and take Mandy Patinkin away from Patti LuPone.
But why no Evita? Sing your Evita song.
Don't ask me to sing songs from Evita. I am sick and tired of trying to sing them. You know, Patti LuPone actually sings lower than I do. And I've forgotten all the lyrics. Don't ask me and don't take my picture. Sing, you fools, but you got it wrong. I know, it would have been so awesome if they sang that.
Well, she performed on the first gay cruise that I went on back in 2001. And she sang
it then.
From Evita, yeah.
What's changed?
I don't know. Maybe she broke during Gypsy.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a moment in that video, and we really want people to watch it. It's on the website. She there's a caption that says, we don't know what she got to get the audience to go freak out, but I think it might have been that she exposed, you know, her.
She did not show a scooter. Please.
And the audience goes wild. Please.
I think that audience would have gone wild if we would have seen a little TNA. I mean, it was, they were hot for them.
They were in love with, well, they're stars of Broadway. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, like,
genuine stars
of Broadway. Because when you think about, like, the stars of Broadway, who are it? It's Nathan Lane, it's Bebe Neuwirth, it's Mandy Patinkin, it's Patti LuPone.
Bernadette Peters.
But she's a little aged out, isn't she?
Well, yeah. but she's contemporaries with Patti LuPone, yeah. Certainly.
Okay. You forgot to talk about Deborah Gibson, Paula Abdul, Suzanne Clay Summers, Aiken. Clay Aiken. Oh, yeah. Crystal Connors. Burano. Hey, I want to do a quick shout out to Crystal Connors on Facebook, who has been instrumental in promoting us to, because what's interesting about her is that all these famous celebrities all follow her. She's not a real person, people.
She's not.
She's real in all our hearts.
Well, who's going to do my nails for me now?
But I was telling her, it's like, we built a paper mache volcano for our show on Friday at Steamworks. And so I said, it's like, Chris, it might not be Cameron Esposito, might be the only woman in the show. Mm. But she definitely won't be the only lesbian in the show.
Do you think Crystal Connors will show up?
I certainly hope so.
Or her male alter ego. We really don't know who it is.
It could be a woman.
We suspect.
Do you even know where this person is?
We think it's Chicago. Okay. We think we know this person. Huh. I suspect. I have suspicions about who this person is.
Who are you?
The same person that does Abraham Lincoln does Crystal Connors.
I don't think it is.
But maybe not.
Because, you know, I've actually chatted with both of them on Facebook, and I get a different personality. Yes.
Different vibe from...
I get a different vibe. I mean, maybe it is sort of like Superman, only with a, you know, no top and a... G-string that's with a smile.
I have
and
to
snatch.
Say though, Crystal is much more prolific on Facebook than Nomi Malone is.
Yeah, she is goddess for a reason, you know, and so she's been promoting our live show at Steamworks to all her followers, and she's like, I just might show up there. I'm just a little farm girl from Del Rio, you know.
Can't come topless.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're having a fabulous weekend here with Curtis Jensen on Saturday. T-Pan, Chicago takes off. I think there's still tickets available. It is their male burlesque event. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, it's like a strip show, except you don't see any packages. But it's also female.
And it's not boring.
It's also female, though. They do intense burlesque. So it's like circus type almost, but like in G-strings and...
And
tits
who exactly are the performers? Are they from the shows that are running in Chicago right
there's
now?
There's some people that do burlesque. There's some people that tour. But then they also find like local theater companies or dance companies, and they'll do something. Because, you know, it's for a good cause. It goes to benefit T-Pan, which helps. It's called Test Positive Aware Network, which helps people living with HIV and AIDS.
I thought it was a cookware store.
No, it's not about cooking pans.
Isn't that a brand of nonstick?
T-Fal.
Not that we can. I thought it was about nonstick cooking.
So that's Saturday night. And then Sunday night, of course, is the Oscars, and we're going to be Twittering it. So if you want to follow us along, and also Liz Winstead, who's been on the show a couple
times
before.
The hilarious Liz Winstead.
And she Twitters like big events like this. So the hashtag to search for is Oscar Wieners. So we'll be hashtagging that. Because if you just do Oscars, I mean, you're going to get lost.
Now, is it Wieners spelled correctly or Wieners with a funny
I'm sorry,
spelling?
It's Oscar Wiener.
Oscar Wiener. Is it Wieners spelled correctly?
Plural.
Yeah.
No, he just said something different.
It's Oscar Wieners.
Okay. Oscar Wieners.
Yes, like I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, but it's Wieners.
With an S.
Yes.
W-E-I-N-E-R-S.
Let's see. Oscar Wieners. Yes, it's plural. Okay. And there it is. Liz Winstead.
Because, of course, there's a bunch of like Wieners out there. At the Oscars.
Well, they're all the big wieners.
Jessica Hallam, the comedian, also is tweeting with us, as well as a bunch of other listeners. So you actually can go to twitter.com, and if you click on the hashtag Oscar Wieners, you can follow in real time what we're all doing.
So you can just sit there and watch your wall.
Yeah. So it's going to be totally fun. Now, Curtis, you are a person that spends a lot of your time and money and energy watching every film possible that comes out, and this weekend Johnny Depp's vehicle
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland's hitting the theaters. Mm-hmm. What's your predictions for that?
Well, I'm a Tim Burton fan. He's not perfect, but it looks like it's right up Tim Burton's alley. And Johnny Depp looks, the makeup certainly looks amazing. I think it'll be visually stunning.
People say he looks like Madonna. Do you agree?
I think so.
Never crossed my mind.
With the wild hair and the gap tooth.
Cross my mind.
Yeah, actually, I used to dress up as Madonna when I used to do drag back. You know, when I was 18 years old, I would put a gap in my teeth to look like
well,
her.
Sure. Well, you should for Madonna.
And then the Madonna dot, which is the mole on the top. Those kind of dots date back to
ancient times,
but women used to do it, and men used to do it to hide cold sores
and other like lesions
from, because you know, sucking
pustules
dicks
and boils
before they had antibiotics and antivirals, Accutane and all that stuff. You had to figure out a way to hide that shit. So Curtis,
it's true.
So the rules are different this year. It's kind of like the podcast awards. Instead of they used to do 5, now they do 10 nominees.
Right.
But the way they're voting for it is really different. Tell us about it.
They are doing, it used to be you would just, if you were a voter, you would just pick your favorite picture. That, you know, you just vote for one of the nominees. Mm-hmm. But now they've asked them to rank the 10 nominees. So you're picking your top choice, but you're also picking your number 2 through 10 choice. And the first ballot, if nobody gets over 50%, which is highly unlikely that anybody would, they eliminate the person who receives the smallest number of number one votes. And all of those ballots that voted for that person number one, their number two choice becomes their choice for best picture. And they eliminate... They do this over and over again.
So it's this crazy algorithm.
Yeah. They just do it until somebody gets over 50% of the vote.
So this is about tricking those shifty Hollywood types to voting for Avatar for Best Picture, isn't it?
No. I think the motivation behind doing the 10 films didn't have anything to do with Avatar per se, but was absolutely about attracting an audience to watch the Oscars, because ratings have been decreasing.
Because it was the Reader killed it for everybody, because nobody watched the Reader last year. They even did it in the number.
The Reader? I haven't seen the Reader.
I had seen it.
I still haven't seen it.
It's quite good. It's a very, very, very good film. Yeah.
I liked what was his name? Wonderful.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
He was a fantastic host.
Oh, wasn't he charming? And I'm so want every cell on his body on top of mine. Yeah.
But it is true that, especially since the Lord of the Rings film, since the last of those films was won the award, that every year the ratings have decreased because there have not been any, you know, huge blockbuster films that have been nominated for Best Picture, mostly because there haven't been any huge blockbuster films that were really worthy of a nomination, frankly. And until The Dark Knight. And I think that was kind of the tipping point. When Dark Knight failed to get nominated, and it had been on all these critical top 10 lists, and number one on many, many lists.
People, and it cost Heath Ledger's life.
Wow.
Well, the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus actually cost him his life.
The acting was so intense for the
Dark Knight.
The
acting was so intense
that it drained force out of Heath Ledger's body.
He just did drag.
Yeah,
come on.
It's failure to be nominated.
You tried doing drag all the time.
And then that year, the audience sort of disconnected from their interest, because the film they really loved had not been nominated, and it was all these smaller independent films.
So why not open it up? Yeah.
The first time. For the first 10 years that the Oscars existed, there were 10 nominees. It just was a change in 1942 or 43.
It was those war years they had to conserve.
Yeah.
It's Joan Crawford ruined it for everybody. So Joan Crawford cut the things, and then it was James Cameron who brought it back. So if Avatar, do you think Avatar is going to win Best Picture?
Avatar could win. There are people in Hollywood that, despite its narrative problems and that it doesn't have the greatest story on the face of the earth.
Who do you think will win, do you think?
I think it's probably going to be The Hurt Locker. But now, if not, it will.
Are they allowed
be
to win?
Because
what is the producer of the show did something like Kuka Faluka.
Yeah, he sent emails out to a lot of the voters asking them, because of this ranked voting system, to he did never refer to it by name, but he called it the $500 million movie.
Sure.
To make sure to vote for it as number 10 on your list. Mm-hmm. So that it wouldn't, because you know, you're an advantage if you are anywhere in the top five, you have a possibility of winning.
Right. Because so like number two or three. I could be like only like, you know, 10 people may have voted for me for number one. But as long as I get racking up enough three votes, I could win. And so but he broke the rules because you're not allowed to disparage in your promos other films. Right. And he broke the rules. And now he's banned from even attending.
Yes. But he if the film wins, he will still he'll have the statuette as a producer, but he won't be there to accept.
And they'll be like, and he's not here to accept it because he's a jackass.
Yeah. And the irony after this, you know, this very commercial choice to have 10 nominees, The Hurt Locker is actually, if it won, it would be the lowest grossing film to ever win a Best Picture.
Oh, really? Yeah. I have to say I haven't seen it.
So according
it's a good film, not a great film.
Okay. So according here to io9.com, which is a kind of gossipy news website, owned by Gawker Media, the New York Times hypothesizes that James Cameron's Avatar will have cost $500 million in the end. But Fox has a plan in case the movie doesn't make Titanic numbers, which it has already. So James Cameron and his crew have repeatedly said that the budget for Avatar was $230 million, but New York Times guesstimated that after tallying up the marketing campaign, which is also cost of the film, and Cameron's own personal contributions to the movie, it cost about $500 million.
I think, yeah.
So it is sort of like accepted, because I think those figures are being thrown around a lot.
Yeah, well,
like,
it's always wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard people talk about, you know, if a film is really, really successful, they will often claim the highest cost numbers.
Mm-hmm. Because so that next time they can...
Not only that, because a lot of people's deals have to do with like the amount of actual profit a film makes. So if they can elevate the costs, right, the less money they have to share.
So like Matt Damon, he's got an accountant that's going through all those books and being like, no, this did not cost this amount. This is not, because I mean, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
Well, so what else is going to win? So on Sunday, we're going to be going through the Oscars with Liz Winstead, but who are you rooting for the winners? Best actor?
The winner, Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart. It's kind
didn't
of,
see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's another very, very small picture that, and this award, he deserves it. He's quite good, but it's really kind of, he's been nominated many, many times before and never won. And is very,
did
well
he ever
respected.
Win for Big Lebowski? Was he even nominated?
No, he was not nominated for that.
I feel
film.
Like, Mariah Carey's fake mustache should get Best Actor.
She was not nominated.
I know. Oh, but Monique
maybe
was.
But Monique. Was robbed.
Yeah, Monique is a shoo-in. I mean,
for what? For best supporting actress.
For best supporting actress, yes. For Precious. Okay. And the other, like, lock is Christoph Waltz for Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, for best supporting actor.
The most charming Nazi ever on film.
Did you want to do him?
No, I didn't say sexy.
Okay, charming.
Yes,
charming.
Fascinating. Nazi.
Well, you know, he's a great actor, but you could definitely see like Tarantino's direction in
that absolutely,
too,
yeah.
You know, and so that whole style that Tarantino does so well, the you know, the tension building, and that always comes to some climactic scene,
right?
And he did it so well.
And who? What about
best
the
actress,
best
right?
actress? Sigourney Weaver for Avatar.
No, that is a kind of interesting contest.
Quit banging the table.
Sorry. Meryl Streep and Sandra Bullock are the favorites, and it could go either way.
Meryl Streep will get it.
Do you really think that they'll give Sandra Bullock after she did this Congeniality?
I have to tell you, I think that Sandra Bullock is probably going to win.
They're probably going
to
do it. I've had enough of Meryl,
yeah,
right?
It kind of makes me sick. It makes me want to vomit a little bit in my mouth to think of Sandra Bullock winning an Oscar, but you know, I loved Meryl Streep in Julie and Julia, and I think it would be awesome for her to win. But she's the most nominated male or female ever.
Most won too, right? For female, or she's tied with Betty Davis or something.
She's
right?
No, she's been nominated more than anybody. She's won twice, but it has been since 1983 that she won.
Oh, has it really been that long?
But people just kind of think of her.
Why does she even show up anymore?
I know. People, I think of her as this person who has lots and lots of Oscars, but really it's been, you know, over 25 years.
But I could kind of see where they're going to give the girl next door Sandra Bullock. They're like, well, we should give her because she's made all these films. But most of them have been like, you know.
Have been crappy. Yeah.
I mean, I liked her in What Speed? I guess Miss Congeniality 1 was okay. Number 2 was horrible. I don't know.
And to be fair, she was really, to me, like the only really good thing about The Blind Side. The Blind Side was really just kind of a Lifetime movie that just was a slightly better than made for television.
Right on.
And in fact, it's one of the 10 Best Picture nominees. It's the glaring film that does not belong in the category.
Okay.
Okay. And so what are some of the category? What about
best lighting?
Best lighting. Best costumes. Sound.
Now, you know, down to sound the technical stuff, okay. You know.
Best.
No, I'm just kidding. Costumes, I think that costumes
animation is really important.
Yeah, Up will win.
Up's going to win.
Which is also nominated for Best Picture, the first animated film since Beauty and the Beast to be nominated.
Avatar is not considered animation.
No.
Okay.
It's interesting. It is.
It is interesting.
It has more fake scenery than Mary Poppins had with Bert and Julie Andrews.
When they went to the park.
Dick Van Dyke.
They should have a mixed media. Best mixed media.
Well, but if, you know, I mean, the thing that is amazing about Avatar is that it is game changing. And that's why it has a good chance of winning, is that people inside the industry, it is enormously entertaining. I mean, I've seen it 3 times.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, and they've also said a lot about Avatar is sort of the what actors actually fear in the future, that their jobs are going to be obsolete, or they're going to be more voiceover actors.
Except that there's not any performances in Avatar that were not done by actual actors. In fact, James Cameron has made a very articulate case for the fact that it is unfair to not consider any of the performances in that thing not worthy of acting awards, because it's all motion capture. Those, you know, in Up, yes, Up is, those characters are completely created by animators at Pixar, but every character, the only thing that is created by James Cameron and his technical crew is the physical look of them. Mm-hmm. But every facial expression, every body position, everything is from the actor's performance.
They were actually flying on animals too.
No, but they were on rigs. I mean, they would have done the same thing if they had had practical effects and stuck them on a big giant rubber dragon.
Right.
You know, and then it would be okay for it to be nominated. You know, it's true. And if you see the behind the scenes stuff and how they filmed it, those are actual real performances by actual real actors. They just happen to be, they've digitally altered their physical appearance on film.
Well, and I don't know. This is also one thing that you might want to consider too, is that this is the first step in the direction of making actors somewhat obsolete because of the fact that they're creating motion capture technology and trying to better understand what makes a good performance.
And also, too, I mean, so it's not just motion capture. And that was what we've seen with that interview with Oprah and Roger Ebert. You don't even really need them for their voice much anymore. As long as you can simulate their voice, just type it in and then it'll just speak.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, they say Roger Ebert, he did an interview with Oprah and he recorded, like he wrote out his answers beforehand and it was just a computer simulation of his voice. Yes, but it was his voice.
It sounded like Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. Yeah, freaky. It's a must.
Well, in fact, James Cameron has said that the thing that this could do is that it could free up. We could have a Tom Cruise performance when he's 70,
looking
like
14.
He's 20 years old.
So finally, he can do.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, or Brad Pitt could. You know, we could have perfect Brad Pitt always, perfect George Clooney always. As long as he's alive to actually be delivering the performance, the physical appearance can be him at any age.
Well, that's wonderful. I think you're right. You could really key on that with like porn. So you could like license your image for porn.
Pavel Novotny will live forever.
Or like if you're a star, like, okay, you could have my porn, but you can only have my porn in Japan. Like, you know how they do like actors do like commercials in Japan.
But you know that's going to leak out.
Here. Well, maybe it's just, I mean, what do you do? I don't know.
But so finally, Patti LuPone can start playing young characters on Broadway.
Right, she can be
again.
Beautiful and young again.
Because eventually holographic imagery will make it into live theater. It's just a matter of time. I mean, we're seeing that kind of innovation in Dreamgirls that's touring the country right now.
LED lights,
with LED backgrounds. And it's just a matter of... And so they're actually mixing video footage with the set.
Ooh, I like the idea of that, holograms.
Yeah, it'll be like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, because that's the thing about like live theater that I don't like versus YouTube. If you're bored, you just hit the pause button and watch something else, you know? In live theatrical performance, you're stuck till the show ends. Or you get up and leave, you know.
Yeah, but the highs of live theater are better than the highs I've ever experienced with a YouTube video. Yeah.
It's just a different it's a different feeling. It's absolutely a different feeling.
I was crying and touched when Chris Crocker was crying for Britney Spears. I was lamenting more for Chris Crocker crying over Britney Spears than the Na'vi when they lost their tree.
So Britney was much more dear to you than that Na'vi tree.
Or even when the 101 Dalmatians got kidnapped by the Cruella de Vil, I couldn't care less. I was like, kill those stupid dogs. They're just a bunch of cardboard anyway.
They're just children pretending to be dogs.
No, but they filled out the stage with some cardboard dogs because they couldn't get 101 children actors.
So who's hosting the Oscars? I don't even know.
Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
Oh, two of them.
Oh,
wow.
Can they get Hugh Jackman again? Well,
promise me Steve Martin won't. Please. I just don't want him to play his banjo. Do you think he'll play his banjo?
I don't think he'll play the banjo.
I don't know. He always pulls that banjo out whenever, he's like, I have a captive audience.
I know. He's like, you know what it is? It's like that annoying grandfather or uncle at a family gathering. He's like, gather around. I've been practicing Scott Joplin on the piano. And he pulls out and he's trying to do like the entertainer. And it's like, da 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 da, da 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 da. I can do this. Just everybody, just stay still. Da 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 da. Okay, everybody, just wait. I can do with it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh God, end this.
Yeah, well, the show is being directed by Adam Shankman, the big girl who directed Hairspray.
Ah.
And he's one of the judges on So You Think You Can Dance. Mm-hmm. And there are no performances of the best songs this year.
Oh. Why?
I think part of it is that
there's too many.
They had a change in the qualifications for that category a few years ago, and it's made it so that the songs that end up getting nominated are usually kind of obscure. We don't have things like the theme from Shaft, which was
or Titanic.
Theme. Songs that are huge hits.
What's the qualification now?
It has to be integral to the plot of the... It has to... It can't just be a song thrown over the title credits at the end of the thing. It has to be demonstrably part of the story. Or it can play in the background during the course of the thing, but it has to add something to the story. So that initial vote that happens is kind of being based on that. That's why they say that...
Was this because Dolly Parton didn't win for Transamerica?
Well, that happened after the change. That was one of the things that's why they think that Pimp song, It's Hard Out There for a Pimp, won. Because of all of the nominees, it was the song that was most integrated and part of the actual story of the film. Whereas Dolly Parton's thing was really a song that kind of like played in the radio in the car and just happened to be tangentially about what was happening in the film.
Well, what about the song Gangster's Paradise? Do you know how that goes?
I don't.
Well, that's not a song from a film.
Why, oh why, so blind to see that the ones we hurt are you and me. I think that's from a movie somewhere. What was that?
I don't know.
It was from the movie Dangerous Minds, 1995.
Is that the Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
It was not nominated for an Academy Award, but it should have been.
Well, it was probably... Most of those films are... I mean, songs like that often were not written for the film.
I want to quickly, before we move on here. So you can follow us on Sunday, hashtag Oscar Wieners on Twitter, Feast of Fun. You can follow Mark Phelan, Fausto Fernos,
and Curtis Junk.
Why do you call yourself Curtis Junk on Twitter?
Because Curtis was taken, Curtis Jensen was taken.
Jensen was taken?
Yeah, and so the stuff...
But Junk is such a negative thing.
Oh, you think of it as negative? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, maybe it was just how I was feeling about Twitter.
You're right. That it's like, junk.
Because my personal thing on there, I'm not promoting anything. It's just Curtis's junk. It's just junk.
Oh, you're junk.
My junk.
I thought it meant like either you. Isn't junk like a for like a smack? Isn't that heroin? Junk.
I guess. Yeah, like my mind doesn't go.
And
that
then also,
place.
I think you call your like your penis or your balls. Yeah.
Junk.
Well, that I wouldn't. I don't. If that's the association people have, I don't have any problem with that. I don't want them to go down the drug line.
Hey, speaking of, so you're looking for a roommate?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I've been abandoned by my previous roommate, and I am in San Francisco.
Because he moved out of town, right?
Yeah, he had a job in the South Bay, and it was an hour and a half long commute every day, so he decided to move back down
Tell us about your apartment. Plug it.
I live in a beautiful top floor apartment on top of a hill in San Francisco. I have stunning, spectacular views. I'm in the Castro neighborhood.
Sell it.
The gayest neighborhood in America.
Happier.
What's the closest intersection?
21st and Diamond Street. Okay. I'm on the top of the hill and I face west. I have beautiful sunsets. The bedroom that you would get if you were to be my roommate has a deck. Sliding glass doors open directly into a deck right into the huge backyard.
Wow.
There's parking, which is a precious commodity in San Francisco.
You can park your car. You have a deck.
In a closed, secure garage.
And you can bring any trick you want to in that apartment.
You can, yes.
Okay. Even one that would steal your stuff?
No. Yeah, no tweakers, please. That's my primary.
But right now, you're desperate, so you wouldn't even take a tweaker.
No.
Oh, come on.
Part of my challenge is that it's expensive, and tweakers don't generally
have. Yeah, because how much is it?
It's $12.75 a month.
And that includes what?
That's the share.
And that includes any heating? Or
no. There's an additional $140 to $200 in shared, fully loaded cable. It's the full package. Loaded. That includes the internet.
Okay.
And there is a DVR in that bedroom.
As a special for the Feast of Fun listeners, how about you drop that price down $100 every month for the first year?
If a Feast of Fool listener...
Fun.
A Feast of Fun listener... contacts me, yes, I would drop that price.
All right, that's what we got the FOF hookup, baby. Living, pimping, and
it's a deluxe it's a deluxe apartment in the sky in San Francisco.
Because that seems expensive, though.
That is market rate in San Francisco.
Is it?
Because let me tell you, I'm I love this apartment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so
you're gonna knock $100 off of it. So basically, the heating will be included if you're a Feast of Fun listener.
Yeah,
and you're gonna live in like the coolest place with the coolest roommate.
Hello.
And you have like
all, and I'm out of town frequently on business,
so basically you're living by yourself.
You'll have the apartment to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Just don't steal anything
and free passes to go to Steamworks Berkeley.
Yeah, now
you can get
definitely guaranteed that my roommate
a lifetime
would get
supply
free
of
passes to Steamworks.
Of slings at Steamworks.
That's right.
I mean, this is like if I would live there, I'd be there. That's what I would. Mark and I would be fighting to be your roommate.
You know? Would you take a couple?
I would, believe me, at this point I would consider it.
You'd consider it.
Because let me tell you, with the economy the way it is, we might have to sell this apartment and move to San Francisco,
where it's twice as expensive.
Yes, our cost saving measure is to move to a more expensive city.
There's a science behind it, but we could make money, you know, working at Steamworks. We could be like, would you like a fresh towel? Would you like a tour of the place? Isn't that where the Steamworks general manager, that he found his boyfriend giving him a tour of Steamworks, didn't he?
Oh, you mean the Chicago manager?
Yeah.
Not giving a tour, no. His boyfriend.
Gave him a tour or something
yes,
else.
Yes, he was a regular
his
customer.
His bouquet.
You don't want it. Come on, tell stories
we're
about
your we're in a very generous mood here today, yes. Because Feast of Fun is all about helping your fellow man. Uh-huh.
That's right.
So we have a special letter from listeners that are from San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm. So here, this is Jesse. He writes, "Hi, Fausto.
Hey.
I don't know if you are the one I should be talking to.
Yes, you should
be. But here it goes.
All right. Bring
it
on,
baby. I'm a gay man living in San Diego with my partner. We both are Hispanic.
I like that.
I'm 66 years old, and he is 30 years old.
I like intergenerational love. That's
and
good.
We both would like to meet some gay male little people for friendship and more.
Hold on a second.
But I just can't find any group that would help us get to meet little people. We are serious. We just find them cute and want to know more about them and be their friends. I hope I am not out of line, but I just don't know how to meet them. Can you help me? Thank you, Jesse."
Little people are the happiest, luckiest people in the world. Okay, the thing about little people is that there are like strippers, bodybuilders, or trannies. Everybody wants to be their friend.
Okay.
You know, so if you want to become friends with a little person, you got to bring your A game. Take them out to dinner, buy them nice things.
Let them co-host a talk show.
Absolutely. We have our little people posse. Yes. We call it the LPP here. But
you get one of those big giant bags and just kidnap them.
You gotta just feed them candy.
What do they call those Navy bags that we carry? Duffel bags.
Duffel bags.
Yeah. They love the sweet, sweet taste of candy. But no, seriously, like there's actually some websites. It's called Google. I did a little research for you. Go to littlepeoplemeet.com or LUV, love for the number four, littlepeople.com or lpdate.org. It's a nonprofit organization bringing together tall size people or people
little people and their admirers
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an interesting thing.
Do they have gay categories on there?
I think that you can be a man seeking a man. Awesome. So you can get your groove on with the little person.
So I mean that's got to be something interesting though if you're a little person. It's going to be hard. I don't know. 66 years old and 30 years old.
We're friends with some celebrity little people. And I have a feeling like from hanging out with our friend Josh, that a lot of people want to be friends with him just so they can say they're friends with him. And so if you want to be friends with anybody, whether it be big, small, little, medium, black, white, yellow, green, red, Latino, Asian, American.
Yes, we get it.
Is that you want to get to know them as a person.
Right. Yeah. You have to be authentic.
And,
it's,
and really, like, bonding happens when two things get exchanged, stories and gossip. Mm. If you can't bring your A game with a little people person, don't play.
Well, it's about your relationships and, you know, it's give and it's take, so.
But and don't lose them and be like, oh, I'm so glad I'm with this tiny little midget. That's the M word. You don't say that around them.
No.
So it's you know, only it's like queer. It's best to or the F word, which we don't say here on the show.
You don't only, say
faggot?
I don't like to say it.
Oh, you know? I love the word faggot.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
But see, if a straight person goes up, "Hey, what's up, faggot?"
You'd be like "Well, no, I don't."
Yeah, you would be like, "You cringe." Right.
Yeah.
And so if you're a person, don't use the M word, which I did and I apologize for saying that. You know, people want to be called little people. Little people are the happy. So
they probably most of the time want to be called by their name.
No, just call them just be like, look at them. It's little.
Yeah.
And they just go, oh, my name is Josh.
Yes.
Stop talking about me that way.
Can you believe yesterday's show with the adorable Chris Rushton? And how it's blowing up. It's huge.
It's gone so huge. No,
because of his Adam Lambert sex story.
So I guess this is a truth. When I asked him
sex
about
sells.
It, I thought he was pulling our leg.
Mm-hmm.
But I pinned him against the wall metaphorically and asked him, is that true? The story that you had sex with Adam Lambert, you had a one night stand. And he's like, yep. It did happen.
Yes, I did.
And then I asked him, did he sing One Night Only from Dreamgirls for him? And he did not.
Oh.
Which you could have embellished the story a little bit, you know, for our sake. That would have been nice.
What you going to do?
Well, you could embellish the story, you know. Mm. I embellish the story all the time.
I know.
You know, with colorful
details. I think this
details.
Lady's embellishing this story.
Who is that?
She's suing her doctor because she got a breast augmentation, and she's saying that now she has essentially four breasts. So she's suing the doctor. She's suing websites that referred them to her because she says her breasts now, quote, appear flattened on the bottom with severe swells the size of a softball on top, and that she has pain, disability, loss of self-esteem, humiliation, and embarrassment. So, yeah, she's saying she would need some correctives. She's had corrective surgeries, but it's just they still don't look right.
So she looks like a Persian fertility goddess with all those boobs all over.
With extra titties.
So she says, like, I wanted my boobs to be twice as big, not twice as many. You know, people just don't grasp mathematics here. Because if she would have gone to the surgeon and said, 2X means not in in size, not in numbers. I don't know why they.
I think they do it by A cup, B cup, C or D or something like that.
I just you know if I was a chick getting a breast augmentation, I'd be like, make these melons, baby.
You know? Get them big.
I want some big old tatas.
How big would you want them? They'd break your back.
You know, I'd just put them on the wheel. I'd be like Dolly Parton.
Yeah, I actually know more women who've had breast reduction surgeries than I know
it does
women
hurt.
Oh, really?
Breast enlargements. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know anybody. I don't think I know anybody that had it. Oh, I heard of, like, I don't know her personally. I just stayed in her condo. She was a really heavy woman, and she lost a bunch of weight, so she had a breast reduction surgery. But then she gained all her weight back, so she was really big everywhere except for her breasts. Wah, wah. I know.
That's just that you can't win.
Because, like, you want to, you know, you can be full size, you know, or plus size, but you kind of want to look proportional. Yeah. But if you look all proportional and then you have no titties, people are like, well, what's up with that?
I've also known women who the only reason they had any titties was because they were big,
yeah,
and fat,
and then they lose weight, and then they're like, "No more titties."
Oh, wait a second. Was she a great big girl? Girl?
She was.
Yes, sir, she was.
Listen to this horrific story. This is just so it's death by sauna, and this happened in a Russian sauna,
not at Steamworks.
Because you guys have a temperature control on your whirlpool, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in a Russian sauna, because they use sauna as like the whole like building is considered the sauna. So the two men boiled to death after jumping into a typically ice cold plunge pool, which had accidentally been heated to the point of boiling. The sauna was located in the city of Kirov in central Russia, and a local investigation confirmed that their death was caused by overheating. According to the report, the fatal temperature in the plunge pool was due to an error by one of the victims. So they just like jumped into this hot boiling pool and just boiled to death. Could you imagine?
That must have hurt.
That's really horrible.
I know.
Because that has happened to me. Like, I fill up the bathtub with hot water, and I go, you know, and you climb out.
Could you imagine if you just
jumped? But if you had jumped and your whole body was going into
you wouldn't know what to do.
You go into shock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's just horrific.
That's gruesome.
That's absolutely gruesome.
Thank God.
You know what, folks? Dip your toes.
Yeah. Moral of the story, stick your toe in before you jump into anything. Ugh, whether it be, you know, finance or a pool or...
Or at SeaWorld.
Or at SeaWorld. So you know, I've always felt... The whole thing with the killer whale is like, I never trusted those whales.
You know, I went to SeaWorld, you know, I loved it, but I didn't get to see this show.
What are you talking about?
The best killer whale show ever, I wasn't there.
What would you have done if it, like, it just pulled the thing up and, like, I knew sooner or later. Is that, you know, that's the equivalent of Siegfried and Roy and the tiger attacking him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of time.
Seriously, it's tragic.
Any type of deadly animal involved in show business turns on somebody in a show.
Well, sure.
It's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, especially when it's a killer whale.
I mean, Patti LuPone did it in Gypsy.
Well, the American Family Association, which is one of those religious right-wing groups, is urging that they kill the killer whale by stoning it to death, because they say there's an ancient civil code in the Bible that says when an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner shall not be liable. And so, they want to stone it to death. So how do you stone a whale to death?
The problem with this is you throw, I don't know if people know about this, like fluid mechanics. Mm-hmm. If you throw a stone, like a pebble into a pool, the water makes it just kind of slowly sink down to the bottom.
you pretty much need like a torpedo or something.
Well, or you just beach the whale.
But they also are going even further and saying that the trainer's death belongs, is at the feet of the curator in charge of animal behavior here. They also quote saying that the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall also be put to death if the ox kills like a second time. And so they think like this animal is killed like three times now. Yeah.
So SeaWorld has to be put to death.
So the owner or the trainer, Chuck Thompson's got to be put to death.
The chairman of the board.
I just love it that people are like saying, hey, this is what's in the Bible. You know, because it really just exposes the Bible for what it is, a crock of shit.
No, these people, what you really mean.
These people are just
not
insane.
All of it.
Huh? These people are insane.
I actually want to how about here's a compromise is you know what kills animals and pretty much anything? If you ever see this in a movie, a lot of people don't realize that anything exploding underwater, the shock wave, because the water is mass and air doesn't hurt you as much, will kill most things nearby it. So if you throw like dynamite into water and assuming that the dynamite will continue to burn and explode, it'll kill a killer whale.
That's
easily.
Hillbilly fishing.
That's right.
That's what hillbillies do.
But a lot of people don't realize that. And so every time you watch a movie and they're like, detonating a bomb and then they swim to the surface and the bomb explodes, as long as you're in that water when the bomb goes off, you're done.
What about if your head's above water?
Well, then your body will receive that shock, you know? I mean, it'll kill things very nearby, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm always like, why are they not aware of hillbilly fishing in this movie? What up with that? So, Breath by Chocolate. There's a new product coming out, trying to get people to consume chocolate by breathing it. You have it, Don.
No, I don't.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's our Wendy Williams moment. I'm sure if Wendy Williams had a co-host, she'd be like, you have it. No, you have it.
Do you have a board off stage covered in gum?
No, she
had a fly problem on her set and couldn't figure out where the flies were, and they showed her backstage, and there's this wall. She chews gum and sticks it onto this wall.
Oh, Wendy, that's nasty.
And then she gets Slim Jims and a cigarette lighter and heats up the Slim Jim until it crackles.
Are you serious?
Yes, she did this on the show.
She's so crazy.
She needs to go back on that cocaine.
Yeah, really. Cocaine's much better than Slim Jims and bubblegum on the wall. So this is something Willy Wonka would have dreamt up had he had the scrum diddly umptious bar, lickable wallpaper, and the river of chocolate that ran through his factory. Well, move over, Willy Wonka, and meet Harvard University professor David Edwards, the not-so-mad biomedical scientist behind Le Whiff.
It's called Le Whiff?
Le Whiff.
Uh-huh.
As sweet as chocolate and as light as air. We have created chocolate in the new form. Air. The air.
That's let the people have the air.
The chocolate air. Why does Le Whiff satisfy? To find out, Edwards headed to Cardullo's Gourmet Shop in Harvard Square, where they had an obscene selection of chocolate. Edwards busted out his little box of Le Whiff. It comes in tubes that look like lipstick or shotgun shells. Don't give this to children. And it comes in a gun, and you point it, the gun in your mouth, and you pull the trigger.
Ooh.
I don't know. It looks kind of violent.
It's chocolate air.
It's basically like a respirator. Like if you're, you know, so you
asthma.
Could switch it with somebody's asthma medication, and it'd be like, they would die, but it would be a delicious death. Tastes great.
Did I do that?
Did I do? yeah. So we want to remind the listeners that today's show is brought to you by generous contributions of people like you. I know times are tough, and we appreciate every penny that we get. Go to feastoffun.com/iPhone and make a contribution to our mobile app development fund, as well as upgrades to our website. And Feast of Fun today is also brought to you in part by Mega Mates.
Your Feast of Fun continues when you call 1-888-MEGAMATES. Hook up fast or make a date with hot local men at 888-MEGAMATES. Listen to messages and chat live with guys who are ready to connect and looking for fun. Call 1-888-MEGAMATES.
Ooh. Ooh, have some fun. So we're going to actually try to get Mega Mates to give us permission, and we'll call live on the show
we'll
in the coming
sexy
weeks.
Sexy men.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, what you doing?
Mm. What are you doing, man?
So we got some comments and questions here from our Feast of Fun page on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/feastoffun. Nick Werner wants to know, Curtis, what's the funniest thing that you've ever seen or experienced at Steamworks? Minus the hilarious taping that we're doing on Friday, of course.
The funniest thing I've ever seen there?
Because you've seen a lot.
Or just one
of the things.
Well, you know, because I don't spend that much time there. I don't work out of the bathhouse.
Right.
I work in an office in San Francisco.
Well, you work. I'll put it out there. Curtis works with Nick Starr, who's famous for being a Twitter suicide.
That's got to
be the funniest thing ever.
Because he's always like twittering. It's like, I think I'm going to go kill myself. And
he never does.
It's like crying wolf, you know, and it is disturbing to. I actually blocked him from following on Twitter because I just could not go emotionally through that. You know?
It's like a roller coaster. I watched it for a while on Facebook. I'm still friends with him on Facebook, but I just had to hide his updates because I was too embroiled in it.
And Peter Sneed wants to know, Curtis, is there a do's or don'ts list for bathhouse behavior for people who are going there for the first time? You'd think that this would be common sense, but in my experience, it's not.
Well, I think that you should be respectful of other people. Yeah. I mean, that's the key thing.
Listen to Patti LuPone and her freak out. Public manners. Follow your public manners.
Just, be respectful of other people. If you're clearly not being invited to participate in something, then don't jump in. And it's easy to very politely say no to somebody if someone is encroaching where you don't want them.
Mm-hmm. And loud sounds and bright lights are bad. Sudden movement also.
Because you might get bit.
Well, loud sounds can be fun, though.
Well, I mean, once you're in the hit the safety zone, but it's like, it's sort of like, you know, approaching a wild animal. You don't want to make fast moves.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go slowly. You know, and then,
or if some people are like getting it on over there, you don't want to talk about like what's happening on your favorite soap opera.
Right. I love Lady Gaga.
Isn't Lana wonderful?
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
Now, this is one thing that Mark would love to have a night called. Should we bring it up now?
Sure. I told him this before.
Called Grunt. And this is the radical concept is no music, just the sounds of men
having sex. Hmm. But they like their music at Steamworks.
Yeah, but it's sort of be fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is an integral part of the experience is the music. We have very, it's very well vetted. It's just not random music.
It's music designed to get your groove on.
Yeah.
So we're also asking people, who do you think will win the Oscars on Sunday? Austin Hammonds wrote, Lady Gaga should win something because she's fabulous.
God, our show is gay. Only our show when people like Lady Gaga should win an Oscar.
She just should get Oscars for the rest of her life. Greg Smeltzer, Showgirls should win.
Absolutely.
Now, Greg has been posting on Crystal Connor's page on Facebook that he wants to push me down the stairs and become Crystal's understudy. Him. Well, I said to him, I was like, you don't want to fuck with me now that we're friends on Facebook, darling.
No.
And then I said, and he was like, well, I'm going to try to push you anyways. And I said, well, that's a good thing I take the elevator. And he's like, well, I'll cut the cables. So Greg looks like a cute guy. It looks like a lot of fun. Avatar, Michael E. Sanchez, Monique, and the Academy will give away the highly coveted third Oscar to Meryl Streep. And Jeff Bridges will win for Crazy Heart. David Oropeza said Avatar is a sure win. Shannon P. Duffy said the big upset, Hurt Locker wins Best Picture. Don't believe me? Go read this year's method of voting. It's complicated, and complicated things have unpredictable results. And then Meryl Streep and Mike Gonzalez wants anything but Hurt Locker. So you're going to be able to weigh in on Sunday. And for now, we're going to be leaving you with a little music by Stephen Leonard from his album With a Pen.
And he'll be in a towel on Friday.
With a towel.
Mm-hmm.
With a pen and with a towel. And he'll actually be performing this song on Sunday, hopefully.
Yeah.
He'll do anything.
I'll be like, here's your pen. Start singing.
And take your clothes off. Slowly. Slowly. Slowly.
Now faster.
We want to thank Curtis for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're so wonderful. Remember, you can follow Curtis on
Twitter. Curtis Junk.
Yeah, Curtis Junk. I'm on there about once a month.
But you're going to Twitter along.
But I am going to Twitter along at the Oscars.
Oscar Wieners. Yes. Oscar Wieners for the hashtag.
I'm just a farm girl from Del Rio.
Yeah, you sure are.
And Kevin Harbison is going to be coming to the live taping on Friday. So there's going to be lots of good looking guys who listen to the show who have the same sense of humor as you do. So you want to meet them and hang out.
Yeah.
And this is like a non-threatening. You're not being naked. You'll be clothed. Or you can be naked if you want
later.
That happens after the show.
Yes.
Which we'll have our fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
At midnight, I found truth inside. Crowded hotel room. I drove home under the influence. Consequences. All in my head. I wanted to crash in my own bed. It got warm. It meant the storms were reaching in too fast to avoid. I found peace overseas. I found the very best of me. Now hold on to every moment I've lost. Now carry with me everything I've gained. And I know Burns right before my eyes. I wish for the best.